To anybody here that's not familiar with God's Word, just ask the person next to you or close by to help you with those finding those passages. I haven't got any page numbers in the church Bible, but just so we can all read together God's Word. There's two readings this morning, one out of John chapter 5 and the other out of Timothy. Fred will come up and preach after I've read that. So John chapter 5, and we'll be beginning at verse 31, sentence 31, and we're going through to sentence 47. And Fred is concentrating his message in that passage on sentence 41 to 44. And as I've said, and I'll remind you that this is God's Word. If I testify about myself, my testimony is not valid. There is another who testifies in my favour, and I know that his testimony about me is valid. You have sent to John, and he has testified to the truth. Not that I accept human testimony, but I mention it that you may be saved. John was a lamp that burned and gave light, and you chose for a time to enjoy his light. I have a testimony weightier than that of John, for the very work that the Father has given me to finish and which I am doing testifies that the Father has sent me, and the Father who sent me has himself testified concerning me. You have never heard his voice nor seen his form, nor does his word dwell in you, for you do not believe the one he sent. You diligently study the scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. These are the scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. I do not accept praise from men, but I know you. I know that you do not have the love of God in your hearts. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not accept me. But if someone else comes in his own name, you will accept him. How can you believe if you accept praise from one another, yet make no effort to obtain the praise that comes from the only God? But do not think I will accuse you before the Father. Your accuser is Moses, on whom your hopes are set. If you believe Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But since you do not believe what he wrote, how are you going to believe what I say? Now, if you could turn to 1 Timothy. A bit further on in the New Testament, 1 Timothy. And we're reading there from sentence 12 to 17. Timothy, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honour and glory forever and ever. Amen.
Do you find it hard sometimes to say no to people? I often do. Often I hear myself saying yes, where on second thoughts I should have said no. Why do we do it? Are we afraid to disappoint people? Do we want to give the impression that we are always so nice? Or is it perhaps that we are born with a desire to be appreciated by other people. I guess that is what it is. There is something in us that wants us to be accepted by the people around us. Whether it's our family, or our church, or our colleagues, or our peers at school. Now that's not always wrong, but it can become quite a trap. The desire for acceptance by people can easily lead us to make wrong decisions or lead a double life. It can also drive us way beyond our natural ability. People's hunger for being appreciated by demanding parents or by high-achieving friends leads to a terrible slavery. Then you have to constantly prove yourself. And what do people think of me is always on your mind, and it drives you. My friend, if you recognize this sort of slavery in yourself, you would do well to listen today. For then I have quite a liberating message for you. And that message begins with looking at Jesus and listening to him. What I just called a form of slavery, the desire to be accepted by people and therefore to compromise certain things that we think is right or we want to do, that was something absolutely foreign to Jesus. Listen to what he says when he is challenged by Jews who dismiss his claim that he is the Son of God. And then he says this, verse 41 in chapter 5 of the Gospel of John. I do not accept praise from men. In other words, whatever people say or think of me doesn't make me feel good or bad about myself. Whether they praise me sky high as a prophet or a miracle worker, or bluntly reject me as a madman, that doesn't make any difference about how I feel about myself. I do not accept praise from men. I do not need acceptance by people. I am not misled by their praise, and I'm not upset by their rejection. Now, why can Jesus say this? It's this. His identity as a person is not shaped by men and by what people think of him, but only by God. Jesus says there's only one whose praise I seek, and that is my Father in heaven. And I love to obey him no matter what people think of me. Of course, in a way, Jesus, being a human being, also needs acceptance. Otherwise, his talk would be very, very arrogant. So I don't need anyone. He's not saying that. The point is this. He said, I only need to be praised by God. Jesus knows he is fully accepted by him. And that makes him whom he is. It makes him an absolutely free man. And he's totally unique in that. Now think about yourself. Can you see that your need for being accepted by people makes you a slave somehow? Because then you always think, what would people think if I do this or if I don't do this? How would they accept my words? Will they still accept me? I say what I have to say. See, our fear for saying what we need to say to people is caused by our fear for their rejection. It's the opposite of acceptance. And Jesus didn't have any of that. He was free, for he focused exclusively on his Father, and that made him so different. Why could he not get across with his message to the Jews of his time. That was because these Jews were afraid to break the party line. They wouldn't dare to step out of the system they were part of and then to stand alone. Nicodemus, a Jewish teacher of the law, one of the Pharisees, he was impressed by what Jesus had to say, but he didn't dare to ask his questions when others were around. So he visited Jesus at night so that nobody would know. Nicodemus, at that stage, is still dependent on the approval of his peers, and he don't want to put that at risk. Verse 41 again. I, says Jesus, do not accept praise from men. But I know you, he says. You do. Of course you do. For, as Jesus says here, you do not have the love of God in your heart. See, that is the difference. If people do not have the love of God in their hearts, they will be in pleasing people. What else can they do? They will be in seeking acceptance by their peers, for that's what they need then. And that gives them their identity among the people. That's simply how it works in life. If you have a father who is sports mad, how can you impress him best? By being good in sport, isn't it? Whether you like sport or not. You may even make yourself think that you like it. For being accepted by your father is of vital importance to you. But it's ultimately a damaging slavery. For we are not supposed to be dependent on the praise of people. It's rather a fickle thing too, the praise of people. One moment people can praise you sky high. At a moment no one worships you. See, we are not supposed to be dependent on the praise of people. We are called to be free. Listen to what Jesus says in verse 44. How can you believe if you accept praise from one another, yet make no effort to obtain the praise that comes from God? See, it's either the one or the other. Think that through for yourself. What makes you tick? What do you seek to achieve in life? Praise from people or praise from God? And only the latter can set you free. Because one's accepted by God. God is totally consistent. And you can be totally free with him. Again, why did the Jews reject Jesus? People would think. So friends, even before you can begin to believe in Jesus Christ, you have to struggle with this question in your mind. Am I prepared to stand alone among my peers just to get to know Jesus? And through him, to become a child of God. Jesus makes very clear, if you are not prepared to do that, you have no hope. If you do not want to lay down your life, the life you have, in order to receive the new life that Jesus offers, you're not worthy of him. You have not understood the extent of his claim. Take note, that doesn't mean that you will physically die the day you commit your life to Christ. But it's about a decision of principle. It's a life choice you make. You say, I believe that Jesus' promise is true and that the life that he gives is more than anything this world has to offer. Now that confession, based on faith in his promise, will make you accepted by God. So your acceptance of Jesus is part of God accepting you. And once you've been through that, all that counts for you is, what would God think of this? will he praise me for saying or doing this? And that new way of thinking will set you free from the terrible slavery of what will my friends think of me when I say this or when I do that. You know that you're accepted by God, and his acceptance sets you free, gives you a new life. Now, to get a complete picture of this enormous change of life, we want to listen to the Apostle Paul for a while. Now, it's quite possible that the man that we know as the Apostle Paul was at the time one of the Jews quarreling with Jesus. After all, he was about the same age as Jesus. He studied in Jerusalem and was part of a group of people called the Pharisees. And being trained theologians themselves, they never stopped attacking Jesus for his teachings. As I said, one of them was a man with the name of Paul. And he was so convinced that the Jewish understanding of the Word of God was correct that he appointed himself to stamp out any other interpretation, especially the one of the Christians, the people who believed in Jesus. And for a while, he tried to ruin every community of Christian believers. He threw people into prison. He didn't even shrink back from murdering people who dared to admit that they were Christians. And he thought he was serving God with all that. One day, when he was on one of his ruin all Christian churches missions, Jesus Christ himself appeared to Paul and showed him whom he was. And deeply ashamed of his unbelief and of his actions, Paul repented. And then it appeared that God had already a special plan for the rest of Paul's life. He was going to be an apostle who would bring the good news about Jesus to the world. Not only to the Jews, but to all the other nations. If you want to hear an amazing conversion story, go to the book of Acts, one of the books in the Bible, and read Paul's testimony about how he became a believer. Now, it's this Paul who was so powerfully converted, who writes a letter to a young man called Timothy. It's about 20 years after Paul has become a Christian. But his amazement that of all people, God would call him to be a child of God and to become an apostle is still tangible. Listen to this, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. That's where we started our scripture reading. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service, even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. Paul is still as astonished as ever that God would have anything to do with him. A blasphemer of God, a persecutor of Christians, a violent man who wanted to have his way. From a human perspective, he is the last candidate to become a Christian. It looks impossible. Now, we have all somehow the idea that in order to be accepted by God, you have to be good enough. We naturally think once you have mucked it up in your life, you are forever too late. And that makes so much sense to us that many people refuse to even consider the opportunity that they may become Christians. Say, it's too late for me now. If there is a heaven, then there's no way that I would make it with my history. Never heard people say that? Never thought that kind of thing yourself? I suppose you have. For it's mere human to think so. But listen now to God's perspective on these things. And how the Apostle Paul has come to see that perspective. Paul is saying, since I was such a bad person, I needed a lot of grace, more than others. I needed a lot of God's forgiveness. If there was anyone who had to come from far away, it was me. But think about that. The very fact that Paul had to come from so far away is a wonderful illustration of the power of the gospel. As I said, Paul needed lots and lots of God's grace and mercy. And so he writes, verse 14, the grace of God was poured out on me abundantly. A little bit of grace would never have done. The grace of the Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. And that leads Paul to a wonderful statement, a summary of the gospel that I'd like to share with you today. Paul has a trustworthy saying that, as he says, deserves full acceptance. This is the saying: Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. What a statement, friends. Christ Jesus didn't come into the world to commend the people who do rather well. He didn't come to reward theologians who study the Bible so faithfully. He didn't come to encourage the strugglers and battlers in life. He didn't come to solve our marriage problems or our financial problems. Nothing of that. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Now, a sinner is someone who doesn't live up to God's standards for human life, and therefore deserves to be removed from this world and to be destroyed in hell forever. That's quite a thing. It's a frightening thing, actually. A sinner is someone who does not live up to God's standard for human life. Now, God's standard is this, that we always do the right thing, that we always say the right thing, and even always think the right thing. His standard for human life is that we love God above all things and that we love our neighbor as ourselves. In other words, God demands moral perfection of us. And everything that falls short of that is sin. And that situation makes us all sinners. Paul knows himself, and he considers himself the worst of all sinners. That doesn't mean that he acted from an objective perspective worse than anybody else. I think from a civil perspective, Paul was a pretty decent man. Very serious about his own morals, and yet he considers himself the worst of sinners. Why? Wouldn't it be that having all the opportunities to know God, yet he had turned into an arrogant man who thought he knew it all, and he never had the humility to really seek God until God sought him out and broke into his life with a call that Paul couldn't refuse even if he had wanted to. So the very fact that God managed to bring a sinner like Paul, who was so far from what life was actually all about, who was so far away from what God wanted man to do, the very fact that God managed to bring a man like him into his kingdom, that turns out to be a great illustration of God's immeasurable mercy and of Jesus' unlimited patience with sinners who procrastinate their response to the gospel call. The gospel call is this: believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will receive eternal life. That's a fantastic promise, of which we can't even begin to imagine how great it is. Now, don't think that those people who accept this promise, who believe this promise, still have to wait until the day they die before they can be sure that they then will receive this promised eternal life. No, that's not a promise. The promise is not that once we believe in Jesus Christ, we will have eternal life. No, the promise is we shall have eternal life, and we shall have it now. See, the moment you truly commit yourself to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter the cost, you receive that eternal life. And you know that you have received it. That's the beauty of it. Knowing that you have been accepted by God by believing in Jesus Christ is an immediate reward for all those who make that step of faith. But you first have to make that step before you can experience it. First believe Jesus on his word. That's the requirement. And then experience this new life that's flowing into your heart. The love of God coming into your heart. The Holy Spirit coming to live in you. Paul had experienced that. And all those who really know the Lord Jesus Christ have experienced the same thing. Different ways, perhaps, but it's about the same thing. Paul's excitement about this new life that he received has never waned. 20 years after it happened, it still encourages him to make the news known to others. So great is his love for the Lord and for people who do not know him yet. Now to finish off for today. It is through faith in Jesus Christ that you can come to God. And if you believe in him, you'll know that you have been accepted by God. You have become his child, and from then on, your life will change. You will become more and more the person God wants you to be. You will grow in power to overcome your own sins as you consistently follow Jesus Christ and call upon his Holy Spirit. Of course you will have your failures. Even as a child of God, you will fall back in old behavior now and then that's not to the honor of God. But take note, such failures to do the right thing do not change your position with God anymore. Once you are truly accepted as his child by him, you are his. And then this being a child of him creates a new desire in you. And that desire is to please your Father in heaven in everything. And that's what Jesus was talking about to the Pharisees in John 5. Make the effort to obtain the praise of God. Then you will have the same freedom as Jesus had. You don't have to look around anymore and seek acceptance amongst people. That slavery is over now. Don't return to it. Know that you've been accepted by God, and that is sufficient for you. You have a new identity in Christ, and you don't have to prove yourself anymore. You are accepted, and therefore you're free. That's our word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and for this wonderful saying that is worthy of full acceptance, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And if he could even save a sinner like the Apostle Paul, the worst of sinners, he calls himself, Lord, give us a sense of that same conviction of sin, because we all need to feel like that we are the worst of sinners. And Lord, let it not lead us to despair that we are not good enough to be accepted, but let it lead us to go on our knees and seek the Lord Jesus Christ as our only Savior. Lord, There are people amongst us who are still searching for that. And we pray that you would grant them that new life, that they will repent indeed from their old life and are keen to receive the life that only Jesus can give. And Lord, it's your work. And we look upon you. And we pray that you would grant the grace to turn people around and make them your children. In Jesus' name, we pray these things. Amen.